As I listened to the deacon proclaiming the gospel this morning, it suddenly struck me, one of these days we probably ought to say a kind word about tax collectors. They get such a bad press in the New Testament. Someone has to speak up on their behalf. But that's not where my prayer was all week. So starting somewhere else, queridos hermanos y hermanas, dear friends. The other evening, I happened to catch the spontaneous television press conference with Mayor Barrett. After his meeting with the grieving family of the gentleman who had been shot and killed down at Red Arrow Park earlier this summer, just four blocks to the west, just right down the street, the family was seeking some legal resolution to the tragedy. The process seemed stalled. Everybody says that. And, you know, it seems stalled. And we know from our own moral tradition, Catholic moral tradition, that justice denied or delayed is justice denied. So they wanted to meet with him. But more important, the parents wanted his memory honored. They wanted his memory honored by the truth. Yes, they said, in the past year he had suffered from mental illness, but he was not homeless. And there were too many quick, facile, journalistic tags associated to him, bandied about, they said, that were not true. They were not just. And they wanted to say aloud to the community, this was an honorable man, someone who suffered, caught in a terrible moment. Well, I was making supper at the beginning of the evening news, 5 o'clock evening news, but I had to sit down and listen very carefully, watch, and I was moved by the pain of the family, by their genuine concern and the genuine concern of Mayor Barrett, who had himself been shot and wounded, as I remembered, a few years ago, trying to intercede for a victim of a robbery. He wasn't using this for any kind of political benefit or advantage. He didn't want to make points. He simply came out of his office at the end of that meeting and tried to offer the sympathy of the truth to those hurting parents and family in a very complicated, tragic situation. He listed the factors, all of them, including the difficult job of police at this point in history. And I was very moved. This gospel is about speaking the truth. It's about speaking the truth to people you care about. It's about speaking the truth to people you love enough to put yourself on the line for, using every method, every strategy you can imagine to make the point respectfully, truthfully, effectively. First privately, you heard a moment ago, then with a couple of people who could bore witness, and then with the whole community. It's about speaking the tough truth. It's risky. A playful example, I remember one time telling my father, as he was driving somewhere, I said, Dad, I think you drive too fast. And he said, well, what about you? He said, what about you? You take sloppy stops, so you ought to be more careful about that. It's risky when you start telling the truth to somebody. They can tell the truth back, and that isn't quite what you may have had in mind. But that's how it goes sometimes. A few years ago, there was really a superb book. I've mentioned it before from this very place. It was published under the title of The Great Sort. S-O-R-T, The Great Sort. And the subtitle was Why Living in Like-Minded Communities is Tearing America Apart. It was very fascinating. Pointing out that self-criticism and alternate voices, other perspectives are minimalized and muted and virtually effectively eliminated when we live with people who think exactly the way we do. Curiously, the author was a journalist from Texas by the name of Jim Bishop. It was a fascinating book. And we used it as for an ecumenical meeting, leaders from the state of Wisconsin coming together as we do once a year, chose that book to talk about because it was really fascinating. The problem, the challenge, is also true about Catholics and about the place of worship we choose. There was a time in history when you went to the parish in your neighborhood. That's where you went. And parishes were divided according to territory. So this block to this block, this street to this street, that was such and such a parish. Anybody who lived there, you prayed there. And you prayed with people who may not necessarily agree with you, but that's where you went. Then along came the automobile, and that added something new to the mix because you could travel to different places. Initially, and I know this from my own experience, initially the choice was by ethnicity. At least that's the case in Racine. When I grew up, it was by ethnicity. And I even now, all these years later, I remember when my family, I was about 5 years old at the time, lived on the north side of the city of Racine. We passed 9 parishes to get to our own parish. We went past John the Nepomuk because they were Bohemians. We went past Sacred Heart. They were Italians. Went past St. Joseph. They were Germans. St. Patrick's, of course, they were Irish. St. Mary's, they were German too. St. Rose were Irish. St. Casimir's were Lithuanians. Holy Name was German. St. Stan's was Polish. Finally, we got to Holy Trinity where we could pray with Slovaks. And then afterwards, we could go to Grandpa's house for breakfast. Racine, even today, has no, most of the parishes have no boundaries because they were all ethnically originated. And so it's kind of a mixture. The ones on the west side have boundaries, nobody else does. But that was the beginning of something that became less Catholic. It was dictated by care for ethnicity. It made sense. There was something that was a blessing in that. But there was also something that was too limiting. We didn't hear other voices than the ones we recognized. And then with the changes in the Second Vatican Council with liturgy, and with the availability of transportation, we chose the parish that offered music that we liked, or the parish that had the kind of devotion, or the parish that had the justice, social justice conscience. And we gradually then chose parishes that were more and more like-minded. Once again, to pray with like-minded people is a blessing. Once again, to pray with like-minded people is a limitation. You lose something, you gain something. Sometimes the people we pray with can be the ones who speak a larger truth than what we presume to live with. Sometimes we can hear the needs of a different, bigger community if we pray with those who don't necessarily think as we do. The gospel is about speaking the truth. It's about having the courage to speak the truth, the difficult truth. But it's also about hearing the truth. It's also about putting ourselves in a situation where we hear what other people's truth might be. And especially whatever the part of truth that we would rather not hear. It's about hearing as well as speaking. And in today's polarized society, we really do need to look for places where we hear other voices than our own. We need to hear other races. We need to hear other nationalities. We need to hear from different religious traditions. 3 years ago, I established here in Milwaukee a Muslim-Catholic dialogue. We meet almost every month, and the same group of people come together, talk about issues that we choose the time before. It's absolutely fascinating. We'll meet Thursday night. We'll talk about resurrection, and about resurrection from a Muslim perspective and resurrection from a Christian perspective. We need to hear the voices of the poor, people who are poorer than we ourselves might be. We need to listen to voices of children. We need to listen to voices of women and men. And one of the benefits of having a family that eats together in the evening is that we get a chance to listen to all those voices. Dr. Pat Carey, over at Marquette University, recently retired, will receive an award, Vatican II award, this fall. Pat made his family eat together. Teenagers said, "Dad, I asked all my friends, nobody eats with their family. This is so embarrassing." And Pat said, "I don't care. We're a family, we eat together, and we listen, and we talk to each other." And the process of that experience was forming and shaping for everybody. Native Americans, Congregation of the Great Spirit, you go to a parish council meeting, you go to listen. And as a matter of fact, for them, it is considered very rude to immediately say something after someone else has spoken. You say it, and then there's a minute or 2 minutes of quiet. But they think about that. And only afterwards do you then respond. So I asked myself in the course of this week, when's the last time I went out of my way to listen carefully and respectfully to someone of a different point of view? When's the last time I went out of my way to listen? Especially to listen to something I didn't think I would like to hear. Jeremiah finally has a wonderful comment. In the name of God, it's the 7th chapter, verse 22. In the name of God, Jeremiah says, "I didn't ask you to offer sacrifice. I just asked you to listen to my voice. And then you'll be my people, and I will be your God." The word of the Lord.